And a very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. There's a lot of news in today's programme, as in NEW. So a new portfolio indeed. We're looking at a new school. We're looking at a new bridge as well, and we're talking about that today. We're looking for new firefighters. We have a new diocese that we'll be discussing as well. We have news headlines of the Connacht Tribune. We're looking at cystic fibrosis on today's programme as well. We go to Action Toom, we have the Folk Festival, and Mary Coughlin and Alton Conlon join us in the studio. It's just going to be magic. All of that and more between now and 12 midday. A very good morning to you on this Thursday morning. We're with you right through until noon. Now, very good morning to you. Welcome in to today's programme. And again, if you want to get in contact with us, we would like to hear from you today. And what you can do is quite simply, you can text us to the following number, 086 38 33 553, if you want to get in contact with us today. We would like to hear from you and get your details. Can I also acknowledge, by the way, receipt of a lovely letter that I got? And I'll read it to you in a few minutes' time. Just a letter that came about where I was visiting somebody in 2004. And I don't know which relative it was, but the whole lot of them spent so much time in the University of Hospital Galway, whatever we call it now at this stage, but in 2004. And I witnessed something when I was coming out of the hospital. I mentioned it the following morning on air, and I can still see what I mentioned and remember what I mentioned. But it's come full circle because I got a letter about it in the post yesterday. So stay tuned. We'll give you details on that. Now, we're talking about new. Again, we've got a new cabinet altogether. And our next guest is one of those people as Chief Whip, and she's got a brand new portfolio as well. And Deputy Hildegard Nocton joins me on the line today. Hildegard, morning to you.
Good morning, Keith.
What a 2 weeks you've put in as Chief Whip.
Yeah, it's been certainly a whirlwind. And can I just say, Keith, before we start, as I'm afraid I might not get to say this at the end of our conversation, tomorrow is your last day, I understand, in Galway Bay. And I just want to, sincerely thank you for all of your service. You know, we talk about public service broadcasting at national level and there's huge conversations happening around that and funding of it. But what you do and the team there in Galway Bay FM is exactly what public service, you know, is about, raising the issues of interest, particularly local issues here for Galway and the West. And I want to sincerely thank you for I think your decency and your respect, and I think I speak on behalf of all elected representatives who have come on your show over the years. And I remember my first interview with you back in 2009 when I was a candidate running, trying to get elected onto Galway City Council. And I was there in the studio with other new candidates as well. And we're all very nervous, but you put us all at ease, but you still went on to ask us the difficult questions, and rightly so. And I just think from all my experience by doing media over the years, it's sometimes not that often that people can ask the tough questions, but do it in a very respectful way. And I want to sincerely thank you for that and the service that you've given to Galway in raising these issues and in promoting Galway as well, because there's a lot of negative narrative out there on a lot of issues sometimes. So just to thank you and to wish you, Joan, and all the family well, and also John Morley, who's going to step in as well. But I just didn't want the moment to go without
You're very kind. Thank you indeed for that. Yeah, and look at, I mean, it's I love the way you put decency and respect. I think it was the way we were brought up. So we're going to John will continue that, and I'll continue indeed with that as well. But coming back to your own situation, what a 2 weeks you've had, and congratulations with the new portfolio as well.
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind 2 weeks. I met with Taoiseach Simon Harris on Tuesday after he came back from Áras an Uachtaráin when he was voted in as Taoiseach. So he said to me that he wanted me to remain as government chief whip, but he wanted me also to take on a new portfolio that is very much a key priority area for him, and that's the area of special education, and to bring that portfolio into cabinet. So as you know, I sit at cabinet, and Galway will continue to have a strong voice at cabinet. And what he wants to do is establish a new cabinet committee where special education will be a top priority there. So I'll sit on that as well. So I went into the Department of Education yesterday morning and got my first briefing there. And I know from, I suppose, my own experience in education, but also my constituency office and from the briefing in the Department of Education, my main priority now over the next few weeks and months ahead is the provision of more places for children in special needs schools and in special classes in mainstream schools, because I know that parents really are worried and frustrated often around the lack of certainty on where their child might be going in September. So I want to work with the Department of Parents and the other representative groups in relation to that. So that's the top priority, but I'll be coming back on the show. I'm on day two of my brief in relation to other issues, but I think that's going to be my focus. So really a privilege to serve and remain a cabinet and be that strong voice for Galway and the West.
And can I ask you, were you disappointed that you didn't get a senior ministry? Because we haven't had one since Eamon O'Queeve and Frank Fahey in the past, because we were speaking about it during the interim, during that 2 weeks, that we really need a senior minister. No disrespect to you in any way, but were you disappointed?
Well, I suppose Galway, it's important to say I sit at cabinet and I am part of every single decision. And of course, everyone wants to, I suppose, move up along the way. But I feel my voice has carried at the cabinet table. There's been a huge amount of investment. To answer your question straight, absolutely, yes. And in time, I would hope that would be the case. But what we need to do now is continue with the programme for government. That has been set with the three parties, Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil and the Green Party. My role as government chief whip is to keep this government stable. Previously, chief whips many times in the past would have just been the government chief whip. They would not have had a department portfolio. And I think there's a recognition as well that the role of the whip is going to become, it is difficult, but it's going to become even more difficult as we approach a general election. And I have experience now over the last 12 months in that role. I get on well with opposition. They have a role to play. You need a strong opposition, but government have our job to do as well. So I think that consistency is going to be important. But I think the fact that special education is given this priority sitting at cabinet, and these are the areas that are coming through my office and many other TD's offices across the country around provision of, I suppose we're putting a lot of funding into it. There's a lot of, staffing and ramping up of staffing in the department to help children. This is all about the priority of special education and making sure that we're meeting children's needs in primary and secondary. And it's really about the Department of Health, working with the Department of Disability, working with special education as well. And I think that's what you're going to see as part of that special cabinet committee. So to answer your question, Galway still has a strong voice at cabinet. I'll continue to do that. That's what I was elected to do as a TD for Galway West, and work on those issues and continue to prioritise the West. So I'm really privileged to be here, and I don't think, you know, anyone should take it for granted in relation to sitting at cabinet. It is an honour, and it's something that I'm going to continue to work hard on.
But again, it's very confidential then as well. So you must get an awful lot of information at cabinet that you can't do anything with at all. You can't even talk to somebody about it.
Yeah, all our meetings are in confidence. And I think it's important that we can have those safe conversations to discuss, I suppose, the issues that are coming down the track. And I think there is really a renewed focus now with Taoiseach Harris and Micheál Martin and Eamon Ryan in relation to the next few months. This is all about delivery, unlocking any of the blockages there, about getting things over the line. Yeah. We know that it's, you know, within the next 12 months, we'll have a general election. So this is all about moving the legislation through that is of importance, and that's my role, making sure that ministers need to travel to Europe, they need to, you know, go about their business, so I need to make sure that they're covered in the Dáil for votes and all of that. So between that and the special education brief, they're hugely important areas and huge portfolios, and will take a lot of time, and I suppose that's what I'm very focused on, and I'm here to serve. We're all here to serve. There's difficult days and there's good days in politics, as there are in life, and you just need to get on and do your work. And I think number one for all of us in Dáil Éireann, we were all elected by the people, and that's your number one focus, I think, for everybody there, and to do what you can to try and improve people's lives. Nobody's perfect, but we all do our best, and that's my motto in life, just take what you're given and work as hard as you can. So I'm really looking forward to, I think, what will be an exciting area in special education. And even yesterday, one of my first questions was in relation to Rosedale Special School in Galway, when I went into the department. So they are now going to proceed to construct their new 14 classroom school there in Woodlands, the Woodlands Centre in Renmore. Good. So as you know, that's a special needs school for 6 to 18 year olds. So again, these are the issues that matter to people on the ground. Absolutely. Not people's positions or anything like that. It's about the work that happens across government. So that's what I'm looking forward to doing over the next few weeks and months ahead.
All right, Minister Hildegard Nocton, thank you so much for joining us today. We will keep in contact, but thank you indeed for joining us today. I'll be coming back to that Rosedale school in a few minutes' time. So the letter I was talking to you about at the very top of the programme there goes as follows. On this month, 21 years ago, our daughter Gillian was born in the University Hospital Galway. Immediately, there were problems with her breathing, and it was touch and go for a few days. Eventually, it was decided to send her to Crumlin Hospital in Dublin to give her the expertise in medicine that she needed. On that evening, on the month of April 2004, an ambulance was dispatched from Crumlin to Galway, especially for our precious daughter. In the same evening, you were going to UCHG. You saw the ambulance and you mentioned it on air the next day. And you wondered who needed it and how they got on. Well, Keith, I'm proud and delighted to inform you that this same young lady, Gillian, is now turning 21 this week. And it has somehow seemed fitting to send you this correspondence. Thanks to medicine and wonderful care she received in Dublin, she made a fantastic recovery and is presently studying and working part-time in Galway. Though this would be, and I thought this would be a nice note to get on your very last week in Galway BFM. When you mentioned that ambulance on your show 21 years ago, it was comforting to know that someone else felt her distress and realised the anguish another family were going through. So on behalf of Gillian and our family, we wish you all the best in your next leg of your journey, and I've no doubt that your new path will be blessed with good fortune and success. And that comes from Anne Ford. And I remembered the afternoon, evening in question, whoever I was visiting in the hospital, or whoever was in hospital at the time, the crew that came down, there was a massive crew and they had incubators and everything. And it just bothered me. And I mentioned it the following day. And imagine, 21 years later, comes full circle, and Gillian is doing so well. And Anne, her mom, wrote that note. And thank you for that. I want to go back to Rosedale School, though, at this stage, because Senator Pauline O'Reilly joins me on the line. Senator O'Reilly, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us today. We were just speaking to Hildegard Nocton about a new role, and she mentioned Rosedale School, and you've sent us in something on that. It's a brand new school for the Oranmore area, a special school, though, for the Brothers of Charity.
That's right. Well, look, firstly, I just want to say I was delighted to get the opportunity to come on before you leave, and just to say what an absolute gentleman you've always been in all of our interactions, both on and off air, and just to wish you and your family all the best.
Thank you.
So just wanted to make sure I said that. So I was delighted to get the opportunity, as I say. Look, in relation to Rosedale School, I'm the education spokesperson for the Green Party and sit on the Joint Rocks Committee on Education. And, you know, there have been, I suppose, there's been so much work gone on in Rosedale for so long, and I've had the opportunity myself to visit on numerous occasions. Amazing staff, as we know, and unfortunately the building just hasn't served like it should. And yeah, any of us who go in know that. We can see it plainly with our eyes. So I was delighted when the Minister for Education contacted me earlier this week and let me know that there's funding now for a new 14 classroom school at Rosedale. And it's the very least, I think, that the families, that the staff, and in particular the children and young people deserve. So I'm delighted to see that funding now being put in place.
And can I ask you, I mean, does it have to go to the education department then in Tullamore or Athlone for further approval? Or, I mean, can they go to design and build fairly quickly?
Yes, very, very quickly. And as we know, this is kind of the major stumbling block is to get that. And there's so many schools across the country that could do with being upgraded or new schools. And once you get this, it's very quick, and particularly when you have a site. And I know myself from interactions with other schools that the difficulty is getting a site. But we don't have that difficulty here. And look, it's in prime location. And so, you know, but I think it's not just for the people of Renmore, but it's for people all over our city and our county. And so I believe my understanding is it'll progress very, very quickly.
Is it going to be on the existing site, or is it a separate site, or can Rosedale continue as is?
Well, that was what I had asked the special advisor now, and I understand it's the same site. I'm starting to be corrected on that, but that's certainly the minister's understanding at the moment. So if there's a change to that, I'll let people know, but that's my understanding.
That it will be on the existing Rosedale site?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a lot of prefabs there as it is, and they're just not fit for purpose at all. And you know, it at the very least, it needed new prefabs. But we need to see the building itself progress as fast as possible.
We'll have to keep an eye on that as well with you. But Senator Pauline O'Reilly, thank you indeed for your kind words, and thank you for bringing that news to us as well. Now, before I let you go, by the way, Senator Riley, the EU migration situation there, we're getting questions in on it today. Have you a thought process on that?
Yes, well, yesterday there was an agreement
over this
EU asylum and migration pact, and it's taken nearly 10 years to get to this point, Keith. And I suppose what it is a joint pack across Europe to deal with migration, because it's absolutely a reality now. It's a reality right across the globe, and it's a reality that Europe is dealing with. And we've seen some countries would have had 1 million people arrive to their shores. In our own country, we accommodated 100,000 people from Ukraine and 30,000 from other countries, and it's, you know, it's certainly we did a good job in doing it to a point, but we all know the challenges that there are, and so we need solidarity, I guess, across Europe as to how we deal with it, and particularly we need a much faster process, which is fairer on everybody. None of us like to see people waiting in limbo for extended periods of time to know whether they can stay or whether they can't stay. And so part of this pact is that there would be a strict 6-month decision, and that would go right across Europe. And there's also keeping records then, which, you know, I suppose is more controversial in some ways, but it's the only way to probably manage it, to keep records as to who's going to what country. Okay. So those are the kind of essential changes there.
Yeah, I mean, the public opinion doesn't seem to go with it, but look, it's for another day. But thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Senator Pauline O'Reilly joining us there. We will try and get back to that on the programme as well. John will next week. He'll come back on that one again, because there is a little bit of confusion over it. Quick commercial break. Come with the President of University of Galway next. Stay tuned for that and more to come.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Find hundreds of used cars to suit your budget in Windsor Motor Mall Galway, located on the Monavay Road.
A very good morning to you. Welcome into the programme. President Kieran O'Hogarth, President of University of Galway, sits opposite me today, and we've had quite a discussion to have over a number of exciting projects coming the way as well. President, good morning to you.
Morning to your listeners.
Thanks indeed for joining us today on the programme. There's a lot going on within the college, and again, looking at the Library and Learning Commons and the new bridge over the Corrib, there's a lot going on.
There is, and I'm contrasting. You started your career in broadcasting around 1989. I think I graduated from the university in 88. So I was thinking today the difference in between the two, that when I was in college in the University of Galway, UCG as it was, there was about 5,000 students. Now there's 20,000. Galway was 47,000 people.
Wow.
Now it's nearly twice that. And the place has changed dramatically. So the new development is just, again, when I was there, the university stopped, or certainly the buildings that were there at the time stopped at Distillery Road, more or less.
Yes.
Now we have buildings gone up since. The most recent one will be the library, the Learning Commons. When you're coming west over the Quincentennial Bridge, We've now cleared the land, the site for it, and folk will see it there.
Is that the work I see on Distillery Road?
That's right, yeah.
That used to be O'Toole's old house when I was a child.
Is that right? Yeah.
There's a residential unit.
Yeah.
And that's what's going there. That's what's going there.
So that gives a very visual sense of, well, when you're coming over the bridge, the library will be very visible, an iconic building.
Yeah.
Centre of campus, on Laurelin, as we're calling it. And we've just appointed Monica Crump as new librarian as well.
That's right.
And so it's an exciting time. John Cox did great work in convincing us that we needed a new library, and Monica will take it from there now and build on the work that's done already.
Pardon the pun now, but you're kind of bookending between the engineering building and the Laurelin. That's going to be lovely. And Kingfisher, it'll really be a very aesthetically pleasant.
Yes, and one of the things we've commented on, Eamon Gilmore in particular commented on this, he's on our foundation board, is it at night when it's lit up, it'll be a very visible building and very visible on campus more generally. So it'll be, to me, it's an important statement of how important libraries are as a resource, how important they are for students, for everybody in the university has some association with the library.
Yeah.
And we're very keen on that and seeing it develop.
And again, I mean, I started here 1988. It was a different Galway. It was a very chilled out Galway. There wasn't 7 day shopping. There was totally different lifestyle here.
It was. And Galway's still small, having come back after still small. But I think you can see the changes, and I think the changes in the university in particular, very dramatic in the meantime. And you know, campus goes all the way now from Nuns Island up to Dangan.
Yeah.
And along the river in particular, we've reclaimed the river, and that again, the tower blocks were there when I was there, and you can see the river. But now you can see the river from as you go up all through campus. So it has, I think, Galway and the university together have developed in interesting ways since then.
But didn't it take great vision for the likes of Colm O'Hoke and all that have gone before you, including Iggy and Pat Fotrell and all of those? I mean, every president has had an impact on it, but look at the vision, so you have that stretch of land.
Yes, that's right, and Jim Brown as well, and
Jim Brown,
my predecessor. Jerry Lee in buying a lot of the land up around Dangan, and that sense of vision that the university would need to extend beyond where it is now, when at the time it wasn't necessarily seen that way. So I think it's been a community developing, if you like.
Yeah.
I remember when I was in first year, Colm O'Hoke, but one of the only times I saw the president then at graduation, commented that for some people coming to the university at that time, it was bigger than any town they'd come from.
Yeah.
And now it's even bigger again. And it's a quarter of the population, if you think about students, 20,000, and Galway being about 80,000, 90,000. It's a quarter of the population of Galway.
It really is,
made up of the student population. And a campus town, we're recently ranked one of the top 10 in Europe as a campus, our student city. And that's something we underrate is... Mm-hmm. The importance of the students for the city and the city for the students. And I think that's a particularly...
I don't know, do you underrate it? I think you take it very seriously, as Jim did in previous presidents as well, but the impact is huge on it. Can I talk to you about the plans for the new bridge over the Corrib and the access through the campus greenway? Where are you with that? Or where the council are you with that?
We're keen on that. We've been keen for a long number of years now to have the greenway developed. So if you think about it, you could have a cycleway up the canal across at Ward's shop there and at the cathedral up all the way through campus, or you could have an access point which would be across the old bridge, the Clifton Railway Bridge. It would land at the back of campus. We're delighted, very keen to work with it. It would open up a whole visual amenity, and then that would go all the way up to Dangan. And it's already there. The old railway track is, you know, the track isn't there, but certainly the imprint of it is there.
Yeah.
So we're very keen, and we've been chomping at the bit to get going on the greenway for all kinds of reasons, opening up campus, sustainability, and the greenway in general is something we're very keen to work with and want to move ahead as quick as we can.
And is it down to University of Galway, or is it down to the council now at this stage?
At this stage, down to the council. So we're keen to move ahead. We're working with them on it. And they're
very active.
They're active. And I think part of it is for them was deciding where the greenway would start then north of our campus.
Yeah.
So they wanted to decide the greenway track in total, if you like, before mandating something for us on campus. But now that we have the sense of that, I think we'd like to move ahead. And as would they.
And I do believe it'll go out through Bushy Park. I think it's going to come up then indeed to the front of Glenlow and inside the wall of Glenlow and then back down again. Then it's going to go through Woodstock and it's going to go into Cluniff and then onwards from there. But they have it all mapped. They have it all.
Yeah, there was a consultation. There was in the Bailey Allen, it must be about a couple of months ago, around that and the route and what the best route would be.
It will be exciting though.
Yeah, and it'll make a huge change when you think of even the other thing. So if there's a greenway, then you could have commuting from Moycullen. We had one colleague, he was a Paralympian rower, who used to row in from Moycullen. So there's also a blue way potential there as well. And so we're very keen to move ahead. And once now the track has been, or the path has been developed and approved, we're keen to move ahead and we'll work with the council on it.
We were talking during the weekend, I'm glad that you're here to tell me more about it, but the cardiology research is, again, groundbreaking research that's been done within the university.
Yeah, and that's something that there's a, going back to, you know, where we were years ago in the sense of a med tech cluster that was developed. Yeah. Went back to Pat Fottrell's time, really, and his vision to think about how Galway might can impact their very strong ecosystem. And I'm quoting recently from a book from he's an Italian academic in Trinity who with another colleague, has done work on ecosystems, very strong cities outside capital cities. So he puts us in with Bologna, with the Research Triangle in North Carolina, and with the Ruhr Valley in Germany as areas which have really developed very strong ecosystems in a particular industry, medtech in our case. And they put it down to a number of factors, but very strongly in that is the role of the university. And the role the university has played both in providing graduates, in working with the companies, in doing research and connecting with that research. So in our case, we have a very strong ecosystem around, you know, the SFI Centre, which is Corum, the clinical trials area, BioInnovate, which looks at spin-outs and works with students on developing ideas which are patient-centred. And so there's lots of really good research ongoing. So this work in the CARB lab is part of that. What we're really developing now is the clinical trials area and the Clinical Trial Institute and the research that was recently that was announced this week and is groundbreaking. When we brought in Patrick Sarus and his team, one of the things we knew, two things they would do. One is groundbreaking research, which would make a difference, which we're very keen on. Then secondly, developing the next generation of researchers. Mm. And that's something that we can see now manifesting itself with a lot of hard work and a lot of processes to get right in order to make it happen.
So again, it's only getting better in the University of Galway. You're also launching indeed this week a collection of photos going back over the entire 175 years of the university. And I came across a photograph recently and it's at home somewhere in our own house or my mum's house. And it showed the university, it showed no hospital, it showed no houses, no Newcastle Park, no West Side, no nothing. And that's only, you know, that's when you looked 175 years, that's where it started. In the country,
That's right. And we celebrated last year, and we could take any date, but it was over a period of years, the Queen's Colleges. So ourselves, Cork and Belfast were set up around the same time. And one of the things I said when I spoke then was, imagine if we hadn't been set up in Galway at that time, how Galway would be very different. And I think in particular, what we're trying to do now is recapture that history. So about 2 years ago, we gave a call out to an invitation to colleagues to think about the university history. And I thought at the time we might get institutional history, we might get archives around meetings that were held and that kind of formal history. But what we got was something much more dynamic and much better, a kind of a people's history. So we had we have a traveller archive and that we're developing traveller history with the university. We also had the history of the library in objects associated with the library, which again fits in with the both the history and the future of the library. And then thirdly, from the retired staff led by Jane Conroy, the idea that we'd have photographs from the history of the university. So it's, to me, that's much more exciting as a history. It shows the people, the community that made up the university. And so that call, I think I've been very pleased with, because I thought we might set up, you know, have an institutional history and something which was quite official, but we've got something much better.
Yeah.
And this is part of it, and I'm really looking forward to the launch of those photographs.
And I know an awful lot of work is put in by you and by others within the university and all that work there, but the archivists that have done so much work in the university down through the years. And I met one of them recently, and the passion they have for their work, but it leaves it in a very good shape, not for you and I or the next generation, but generations to come even.
Yeah.
And they have to be commended, the archivists, for the work that they do.
Absolutely.
Painstakingly.
And I think part of it as well is that the ethos of the archivists that we have, in that they're there to preserve the work, which is really important, but also to share it. And that to me is a particularly important part of what any archive and library should be. And the archive room is again central to campus. When the library's moving, the archives will stay where they are, because there's all kinds of work to be done on preservation and so on. But I think it's a particularly important philosophy of any university, any library, any archive, that you're there not just to preserve knowledge, but to share it. Not only to create knowledge, but to share it.
They seem to have, and I know a few archivists at this stage, but they seem to have great patience. Like, I bulldoze into it to get a job done and get out, where they do it painstakingly and perfectly.
That's meticulous, because it takes, and there are sometimes so many documents that you have to go through. And sometimes it's hard, therefore, to define the time, but it takes a lot of work. But I think that sense of sharing knowledge, I think, is what I think is particularly commendable about our colleagues, both in the library, the archives, and more generally. I think I think Galway can say things that are different because we're not in a capital city, but we can also do things that are different.
Absolutely,
because we have that philosophy and that sense of ourselves.
Listen, lovely to. Thanks for popping into us today. We wish you every success into the future as well. And thanks for always being available to us and to Ed and all of your team in communications as well. I mean, they've kept us fully informed. So thanks for doing that down through the years.
And best of luck to yourself. I know most people who retire enjoy the following day and make the most of it. It won't be a retirement. I'm sure there'll be lots else going on. But really appreciate your work, both for Galway and for the university, and wish you the best. I was keen to come in before you finished.
That's super.
And not to say that you're finished, you're not finished, but keen to come in before you're finished in this context to say thank you and to wish you the best.
I have to count, so I would have started out indeed with Colm O'Hoca, and then we had Pat Fottrell, and then we had Iggy, and then we had, I'm losing my count,
Jim Brown. Yep.
And yourself. So I've worked with five presidents, including your good self. So it's been a pleasure, and thank you indeed for everything you've done, and thank you for keeping the university as it is, as special as it is to the city and the county as well. And the president indeed, Ciarán Hogatha, president of University of Galway.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Visit Windsor Motor Mall Galway on the Monavé Road, a new way to car shop.
Now, very good morning to you. Galway County Council are having trouble recruiting suitable retained firefighters for various roles, but I'm joined in the studio by Gerry O'Malley, who's the Chief Fire Officer. Gerry, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning, Keith.
You have a big crew, so you have. Is it difficult to get retained firefighters?
It has been, Keith, in the past. The conditions were, they were difficult. But there's new terms and conditions now for retained firefighters, which I hope would make it much more attractive.
You had to be living close to the fire station. You had to be there within minutes. Yeah, and with accommodation, sure, that's very difficult to get people like that.
It is difficult. It's difficult in various different parts of the county. Obviously, smaller towns and villages make it more difficult. In Galway City, places like that, it can be more expensive. But the new terms and conditions now mean that, you know, it's an awful lot more family friendly. So firefighters can work on a week on, week off basis, and they can still come in on their week off if they want. And it's funny, I was listening to Morning Ireland yesterday when I was driving into work, and the criteria for making a job attractive, first is compensation.
That's right. Yeah.
But second is actually family friendly policies are time off. So that should, I'm hoping, make it an awful lot more attractive to members of the public to join.
And how many people are you looking to recruit?
I think we're probably looking to recruit probably about 25 across the county and possibly more. You see, normally our stations are one pump stations, which means we turn out one fire appliance, would have 9 people to turn out 6. But this week on, week off now, we need a minimum of 12 to get 6 each week. So we're increasing our numbers in all of our stations. So at least 25 and possibly more.
And again, I'm not asking an awkward question, but I am. Is the funds there to pay those people?
Because the deal was negotiated by the LGMA representing all the local authorities, some of the extra costs will be recouped to the county council.
Okay.
So that is a good thing. But there are costs that will fall on the county council in the context of ongoing continuous training, personal protective equipment, things like that. But a lot of it in the initial stages will be recouped by the department.
So what do you have to be a retained firefighter, or what do you need to have?
You need to have a good sense of community. I had a conversation with somebody else yesterday. Back when you and I were younger, the guard, the parish priest and the GP were the three most important people in the community, and they were recognised as members of the community. The Gardaí, not so much anymore. GPs are difficult to come by. The fire service in the community are from the community.
Yeah.
Everybody knows the people in the fire service. So a good sense of community, physically fit, a willing to serve and give back. Don't worry about ability. We will train absolutely everybody to do the skills that they need to do. They're not skills that nobody has. We teach them. I would say that's mainly it, a desire to serve.
And how long would the training be? Because, I mean, it's an onerous task, you know, and it can be difficult at times, and you come across some very difficult situations.
Yeah, the training is phased. So the initial training, the firefighting skills course, is 3 weeks long. So a potential firefighter does that training, and then once they pass, they are issued a contract and they're now retained firefighters with Galway County Council. Then over a period of about 3 to 4 years, they do further training, for example, using breathing apparatus, which is the air cylinders that you see firefighters wear, permits them go into smoky buildings. They do road traffic collision training, they do pump operation training, and they do hazardous materials. And those five courses over that period of time actually get them a QQI qualification. So like your primary degree is QQI level 8, this training gets them a QQI level 6 qualification. And those skills are imminently transferable across society. We teach people, we qualify them to become emergency first responders. So they're first aid skills that are helpful anywhere. We respond to cardiac arrests. Obviously, our firefighters understand fire safety. So they can bring those skills to any voluntary organisation they work for or their own employer.
Age profile?
Retirement age is 50, but you can actually apply to stay on until 60 once you're over the age of 18.
So over the age of 18?
Over the age of 18, male or female. And we're anxious to get as many women as we possibly can. We're low on women now at the minute. Women are 50% of the workforce. There's no reason why we can't get women into the service, and we're anxious. And women bring a different perspective, and every workplace is about diversity.
So how can they apply?
So it's advertised on the Galway County Council recruitment website. Mm-hmm. It's advertised in all the local papers, and most of our stations now, we have running recruitment. So even if there's no vacancy, people can send in an application form. It's on the website. It'll be stored, and when a vacancy arises, they'll be contacted then to see if they're still interested. So it's an ongoing open application.
It's an exciting time for somebody to join the fire service.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Like I said, the terms and conditions are an awful lot better, more family friendly. Compensation is better. The minimum earnings, the guaranteed minimum earnings now for a firefighter is about 18,500 euro a year, and that can go up to 25,000-30,000. Earnings are based on activity. Mm-hmm. The more calls, the more money. We provide an awful lot of training. We give the opportunity to do community fire safety, give fire safety talks in primary, secondary schools, go to, we say, active retirement groups, all that type of stuff. It is, and our remit is expanding. Like, you'd be aware, Keith, we do swift water rescue on the Corrib. That's not a core function of the fire service. So our remit is expanding. We do more and more every time. Definitely an exciting time to join.
So galwaycoco.ie?
galwaycoco.ie, into the HR recruitment section, and you'll find the application forms there.
Well done, and good luck with it. I hope that you get a good response to it. I really do, because we need them. And thank you for popping into us today. Jerry O'Malley, Chief Fire Officer, galwaycoco.ie, or just Google Galway County Council and get further details from there. And please do so. And again, 18 plus, as far as 60, is it?
As far as 60, yeah.
Just outside the boundary.
We might make an exception for you.
You wouldn't, have you seen what I look like?
I have. I'm looking at you. And it's funny, I looked at my local newspaper this morning, Keith, and they were talking about you and your imminent retirement, and I wish you the very best in your retirement. It was actually in the context of your replacement, who lives just down the road, or is from just down the road from me.
Good on you. You're a Mayo man as well.
I am a Mayo man, South Mayo.
Away we go. Thanks for joining us. Jerry O'Malley, Chief Fire Officer.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Drive happy in Windsor Motor Mall, Galway, with hundreds of used cars to suit your budget.